the king. Do you remember that old Bart Simpson meme? The one where the whole class looks at him.
Say the line, Bart.
Yeah. Hang on. I've been waiting a whole month to say this again. Mitch Brown! Welcome back to Motorsport 101. Oh, baby, I've been waiting a month to get that one off my chest again. It's just too good. Welcome to episode 371 of Motorsport 101. I'm your friendly neighborhood host, Dre Harrison. And welcome back to Formula E. We had the first ever race at Jakarta. I will pronounce this right eventually. Like, I've been struggling for the last 2 weeks, and I don't know why. Like, I think we might have already chased off all of our Indonesian viewership.
Man, just like how I ended that other episode, Dre, it's Jakarta, like the Magna Carta, like Microsoft Encarta. Come on, you got this.
Jakarta.
Yes.
Yeah! again, it's the literal Bart Simpson to me, with the whole class just going wild, like, I didn't do it. Yeah! I got it right. Okay, we got there in the end. Apologies to all Indonesian listeners ever. Rezi, if you're listening, I know you're on our Discord server. If you're listening, I'm sorry, okay? I hope you enjoyed the fact that your country had a Formula E race, because that's exactly what we got. It was a Formula E race that definitely happened. I can confirm. But with me, as usual, we got... All right, Eric King. Hello, sir. How's it going?
Yes, I'm... somewhat glad I'm here. I've staked everything on Jaguar not winning the championship. And just like anyone facing The Undertaker in a Buried Alive match, I've dug the grave. I'm really hoping I don't get pushed in there.
So in other words, King, are you admitting that you're not quite as confident about this bet as you were at the start of the year now?
Mixed bag. It's a mixed bag.
Because I don't know about you, but... we're in range again. It's a good feeling back here at Shea Harrison, knowing that my one good prediction so far this year is back in the running. And there is hope. There is hope again. I thought after Monaco, and I thought, how did you botch that one up? And I'm just sitting there going, you know, Jaguar in a Jaguar again. But no, we're back. We're back in this. Mitch is in range, you know. Like, unfortunately, the constructors is probably like a bit of a reach here because Sam Bird is continuing to shit the bed. And Sam, stop replicating your favourite football team, Manchester United. It's not good out here for anybody involved.
Oh, God.
Man's driving like he's in the Europa League. The Europa Conference League. We're not here for this. RJ, send me some reassuring words, please. If you can.
This is tough for all of our out Indonesian listeners as well. I just want to say that for the record.
Nice to know you've covered all the bases, at least, because that was funny. You know what was also funny? Reading the news a couple of days ago and seeing that Theo Pourchaer was linked with a Formula E drive for roughly 3 hours before the man himself hopped on Twitter and decried it as fake news, which I thought, wow, that's a Wednesday for you. Like, it goes to show you as well that Formula 2 is kind of balked, but that's a discussion for another podcast entirely. But Theo, come to Formula E, it's fun. You know, I'm sure there'll be plenty of seats.
There may not actually be an open slot for you on the Formula 1 grid anywhere, because at the going rate, everything's hinging on a bunch of moves that may or may not actually happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. I said to RJ before we even started, like, as it stands, the favorite option here is that the grid doesn't move at all next year. And I'm like, when was the last time we said that about a Formula One season where all 20 seats might end up staying the same?
You know, this might actually be a good endorsement for Formula One to expand its Constructors' Championship prize pool to allow the facilitation of at least an 11th team. But, you know, this isn't a Formula One podcast today. This is a Formula E podcast.
we can't talk about Andretti here. They just left. You know, we can't have that.
They're still here. BMW is not here, but Andretti is.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. I got confused with the brand for a minute there. Right, Jakarta, E3. Now, this was an interesting one up the front. We had a very dicey three-way fight for the win, to be fair. We had Mitch Evans, John Eric Verne, and Enno Mortara scrap it out. A very shrewd tactical race, I think is the way we could describe it, over this one. Just a second covering the three of them going over the line. We had all sorts of swapping around and switching as the race went on, and that was interesting. We'll talk a little bit about the track itself and the layout, because there was a lot of talk from the drivers regarding that. There was a lot of opinions going around. Good to hear the majority of them positive, which is rare for a new track these days. Normally, we just talk about how much the place sucks whenever we get there. Formula One, I'm looking at you. we remember Miami. It wasn't that long ago, I'll tell you. And yeah, some more horrible luck befelling our favorite tuned voice actor, Nick DeVries, who, shall we say, gentlemen, got lottered again at the end of this one. I hate that. Cool. I'm now describing it as a verb, but
at his home race.
Yes.
He is part Indonesian. It does count as his home race.
I did not notice until I watched this race that he was half Indonesian. That was
quarter.
Quarter. Oh, quarter. Okay, there we go. Did not know that. Wow. We're cultured. We're learning out here today. But yeah, geez, I did not realize that. But yeah, sadly, he got lottered, and it didn't end well over the course of that one. And we'll talk a little bit about the title picture as well as we go. But in the meantime, there's some places you can find us real quick. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101, or on facebook.com/motorsport101, or on Twitch at twitch.tv/motorsport101_, or on Twitter at motorsport_101 for to find our personal handles. You can. And Harrison101HD, at RJ O'Connell, and at Ryan Eric King. And you could find all of our content, whether it be YouTube, all our written content, all our podcasts, on the website, motorsport101.com, including our Patreon details, patreon.com/motorsport101. You can back us on there if you want to help us out financially. Some cool stuff on there as well. So thank you. And if you want anyone that goes out of their way to do that, thank you very much. But yeah, let's get into the Jakarta E3.
Oh, yeah. What a fun Jakarta finish. We had an intense battle, tactical battle, across the 45 minutes of race that we had. And the winner out of all this, Mitch Mitch Evans. Third win of the season for the Lee Amanda Jaguar, finishing just ahead of Jean-Eric Verne and Eduardo Mortara. The podium was covered by less than a second as they came across the line. So, folks, what did you make of the ending of this inaugural Jakarta E-Prix?
I must admit, I am very proud of myself when I watched this race back for one thing, where I called the fact that Mortara would leave his second attack mode late enough, where it would leave a nice big space of track where Mitch Evans could take his final attack mode and come out directly in front of Mortara and lose no ground. And I was like, yep, that's how Mitch is winning this race. And that is exactly how he won this race in the end. It did also help that he had a great lunge at the hairpin before the attack mode zone on Verne, which caught Verne completely off guard. Turns out Verne was quite worried about that. Okay, you know what they say about bad worksmen, right? They immediately blame their tools, and that's what we got. He said he had the car and I had a battery performance problem. The battery was too hot. They were trying to cool it down, and apparently that was why Jev coughed up the win to Mitch. All I will say is that Verne, I think, was having a bit of a sulk.
It was the hottest race of the year so far.
It was.
Sweltering.
33 degrees in the air, which is a bit warm, to say the least. I think that's about low 90s?
91.4 in old money.
Yeah. There you go. 91.4 in American freedom units. It was a lot like the Formula One race at Catalunya, where when the heat goes up, the cars go wrong. And that's always an entertaining and intriguing prospect for that to happen. And yeah, Vern was managing his car on the way in, and that did not help. And by the end, he was actually more under pressure from Mortara for third than he was with trying to fight Evans for the win, because he had a fan boost as well, and he just couldn't get close enough to pass Mitch's car, even with a fan boost that did turn one. That's a long straight on the home straight of Jakarta as well. And yeah, that was where a lot of the overtaking moves were happening, and it just didn't work out in that sense. So, I mean, Kick, what did you make of it at the front, at least?
It was certainly a day for, well, it was certainly a day for the drivers who seem like they're going to be the title contenders. You know, the strongest cars, like, the hot races tend to develop in a way where the people with the best car are the only people who have a chance at winning.
Right, right, you know. It's a bit more of a car performance heavy race where you know pecking order comes into play a bit more.
Yeah, that's why you saw both the Tachitas up front.
Mm.
You saw Stoffel and Eduardo Montaro, just you know the factory and the customer Mercedes out front alongside the Jaguar.
Yeah, the big power unit teams, and Stoffel reckoned he could have been up there, but for the second time this season, Stoffel missed the attack mode activation. He did it in Saudi Arabia at the top of the season as well, if I remember correctly, and I think that's the second time he's done that this year, and he finished, I think it was something like 3 seconds off the win, or 4 or 5 seconds off the win, where he reckons he could have had a shot of getting into that leading group for the win if it wasn't for missing the attack mode activation point. Whoops. Stoffel, this is not very Stoffel season of you. Still has the championship lead for what it's worth, but it was certainly a reduced margin. It's only a 5-point gap now at the front between him and Jev, who got an 11-point gain with the second and the pole position bonus points as well. Because you forget, you get 3 bonus points for pole in this series, which, certainly helped pad the numbers a little bit. But, yeah, Mitch Evans made a little bit of history. He's now in the 3 winners club for a Formula E season, which is, it doesn't sound that prolific. But it does for how crazy Formula E gets. He's only the 5th man in the history of the series to win 3 races in a season. Can you guess the other 4, gents?
Let's see. Was it... DaCosta has to be 1.
Correct. Season 6.
Whammy has to be 1 for season 2.
Correct.
Jeff?
Did Vern win 3 races in a season?
Correct. Yep, season 4.
What about the struggling Sam Bird? Did he win 3 races in a season at one point?
He's a one-hitter quitter. No, there's one more man you got to get.
Gosh. It can't be Lucas, can it?
The Butcher. Yes.
Brazilian Musk himself.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, but you didn't have to say it. I mean, yeah, Lucas Degrassi season 3 was when he tripled up in that season when he won his title in season 3. So, yeah, Mitch is in the 3 wins in a season club. He's still 12 points off the top of the title race at the moment, which is quite crazy, all things considered. That, you know, normally 3 wins puts you in title shot in Formula E, but we've had 4 big hitters in this championship, and now it's everybody else. Because you see Stoffel on 121, Vern on 116, Mortara is still here on 114. He's not coming away. It might be Edo season. Who knows? You know, that Venturi is still looking damn solid. And
7 more races left, assuming nothing else gets called off from Marrakesh to Seoul.
Yeah. We still got it's Marrakesh next, and then 3 double headers to close out the year.
Oh.
So we still have 7 races to go. I still wouldn't even rule out Robin Freins, who's in 5th place, who's 40 points off the top. That's like, he's 4th, and he's in no man's land right now. And this is a guy that's had 2 donuts in his last 4 rounds in terms of scoring. So it's still pretty crazy that we like. The new format with the duels and the qualifying, it does seem to have worked. It's kept, like, we said going into the year that we felt like Mercedes were probably going to be top of the pile. We reckon DSG Cheetah would be around the top. We reckon Venturi would be around the top. And then maybe the second group of Jaguar, Envision, and Porsche. You look at the championship standings, that's pretty much exactly where we're at right now.
Yeah. But,
like,
no, I do long for the good old days of half the field being in title contention at this point.
Like,
who's to say it can't happen?
No, I don't think we'll get to quite the craziness of last year where 16 dudes could have won the title two races out, but it's still, I would say, at least five guys in the mix with seven to go. So it's promising in that sense. I mean, it's looking like a four-way fight, which, and yep, four is plenty. Four plenty, and from four different teams. That's great. We love it. Like, Merckx, DSG's Venturi, and Jaguar all have at least one horse in this fight, and Robin's not a million miles out in fifth with Envision either. You know, like, there's an outside chance he'd get in there. I'm not sure Envision's got the car to win races, which might ultimately stop Robin from getting in the mix, but he's not a million miles out, and that certainly helps. So, yeah, like, besides all of that, like, we've certainly got a fight on our hands here. But should we talk a little bit about Indonesia itself and the fact that we had our first race over here?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we got rave reviews from a lot of people. I want to read some quotes. First from Nick DeVries, again, who's half Indonesian, reigning champion. Nick DeVries said, quote, "I think the event has been great. I think the excitement from all the fans, the passion and the kindness and welcoming from everyone has been really great. I hope to come back next year. Hopefully we'll pull off a night race to cool things down a little bit." Here's what our winner Mitch Evans said, quote, "The fans were incredible. They've always been very supportive of motorsport. I think for Formula E, it's very important to come to Indonesia. It's obviously a huge population. The whole event has been really smooth. The track's been great. I'm hoping we come back next year. Just maybe a little bit colder would be nice." Start to see a theme here?
The New Zealander said it was a bit too hot. What does that tell you?
Whoa, it snows in New Zealand.
So's in New Zealand right now. Because Southern Hemisphere, baby. And of course, our championship leader, Stoffel Van Doorn, said, "It's a different challenge. And it just makes it interact so differently with the tire behavior in here, with the heat like we've had today. It just makes that even more tricky to get the car in the right window and to extract the pace from it. I think they've done a really good job. The tarmac wasn't breaking up in this heat. We've seen a lot of other circuits where it's happened." So, I admittedly am running quarterback for this because I did not get to catch that much of Jakarta. But from what I did see, particularly during qualifying, I liked it. What do y'all make of the track and the layout at Jakarta?
Oh, I'm in two camps. Mm. One camp, great flowing circuit, overtaking opportunities, fantastically designed. And then that's where I go to the other side, where fantastically designed. This wasn't really a street circuit. It was basically purpose-built for Formula E, and it's sort of between this and Seoul down the road, and even some degree Marrakesh, Formula E's heading in this direction where it's basically becoming Formula One light in a way.
Yeah.
Where Formula One, they want to go to all these new markets, usually at the behest of large national governments to race in their countries on their behalf. Formula E is they're going to all these cities to race for these mayors on the behalf of certain municipalities. So it's literally just like Formula One, but one step lower, which I don't think that's what Formula E should be going for.
But isn't that right, what all these anoraks wanted Formula E to be? They weren't going to watch this if it was just Mickey Mouse cars on Mickey Mouse street circuits that aren't that fast. And to be fair, this is a well-designed track. It does feel like it is very Gen 3 proofed, shall we say?
I guess, but it's only 2.3 kilometers long. Like, it's barely a mile. Like, I agree with King to an extent here that it is starting to feel like Formula One light, and these cars are going to be fast next year. We're talking 200 mile an hour, 450 roughly brake horsepower equivalent, once you convert the kilowatt power to you know, horses and whatnot. But like, I said to King the other day, like, my favorite track on the calendar is Marrakesh, and it's kind of similar in that it's not really a street circuit. It's a custom-built track, which is what Formula E, when it started out, was trying to avoid being. Like, I remember their very first test race they ever did was at Donington, and it felt so out of place having those cars race around Donington. I remember watching that test race on YouTube because they put the whole race on there, and I was sitting there going, this doesn't add up. And now we're starting to get to the point where half the calendar are these custom-built tracks, but like F1. But that's like, look, Jakarta is half the size of an average F1 track at this point. Like, 2.3 kilometers? It's a baby. It's like racing around Baby Park in Mario Kart.
Yeah, like, it's leaning towards the way of being Formula One in cities, even though Formula One is also getting more and more street circuits, so it's sort of redundant.
Yeah, it's like Formula One's going the other way. It's like, no, we want every street circuit we can think of. We're bringing F1 to the fans, and Formula E was like,
and if we can't find streets suitable for it, we'll just make a track with the flavor of a street circuit in some parking lot in a football stadium.
Yeah, it works. And look, I don't like, I mean, I also agree with King. It's a well-designed track. I love, especially the first top. There was plenty of overtaking opportunities. You know, it was a good straight. There was multiple places you could pass people. I liked where the attack mode was. You lost time, but not too much. There was a lot of places you could pass somebody. There was a good variety. It was a good layout for these cars. It was a good fit. It's just, I'm not sure what the direction of this series is going in at the moment, because, like, Formula E needs to stand out and differentiate itself from being just another, like, the one thing I would always hope Formula E would never be would be Formula One Lite. I don't want it to be that. I want it to stand out on its own merit, and I know it's hard to do that anyway, because as King said, Formula One's going more and more street circuit heavy, because no one's building a new racetrack in this economy, for crying out loud. But it just feels like they're converging a little bit too much for my liking. Because I looked at this and I was like, you know, like, King's going to kill me for this one, but like, do you remember, it reminded me of Santiago, where the pavement was breaking up every 2 seconds, and I was like, this is proper Formula E. This is a proper shithouse race, where it's like the tarmac was breaking up because of all the heat, and cars were sliding around, and yeah, it was a bit shithouse, but that was Formula E, and we enjoyed that shit. Like, this feels like the opposite.
Because I think in some ways Jakarta is the right thing for F1. Because I mean for FE, where I always envisioned Formula E as being somewhat champ car-esque, where they would have races in markets either left behind or neglected by Formula One. Like, you know, how, like, the Rome Street Race, or, you know, the Berlin Street Race, in the years that we hadn't had a German Grand Prix in a while.
I still think back to when they were racing in Switzerland.
That was cool.
They were literally the only series that could race in Switzerland. They had a golden opportunity to make a marquee event. And, you know, they got Monaco, but I don't know.
I thought Santiago could be that event, but due to recent Chilean political events over the past couple of years, they haven't been back to Chile or anywhere in South America. Because I thought, based off the drivers they had, like Lucas Degrassi, that like they would really get a big following in South America, where F1 has sort of neglected, with Brazil being the only round in South America now. But again, they too have left South America behind.
Termas, Rios del Hondo. Make it happen. The best racetrack in the world. You're right. I mean, at least we are getting Brazil again next year, at least. But you make a very solid point in that, you know, that is a unique opportunity that I think Formula E is neglecting to a degree. Because, like, going to Indonesia is cool. But as everybody else has pointed out, everybody's going to Indonesia at the moment. Southeast Asia has become, like, this huge untapped market in motorsport, because MotoGP and World Superbike topped on that wagon a few years back with racing in Thailand. We just had the first MotoGP race in Indonesia for 25 years, and that is going to be a staple, I reckon, early flyaway round going forward. You know, they know that, like, they're bike crazy in that part of the world. So it feels like Formula E's chasing other series' tails to a degree.
I'd say, in a good note, they are beating Formula One back to South Africa next year. They're going to be at Cape Town next season.
That's great.
They're going to be in the actual racing heart of India next year, Southern India. They're going to Hyderabad. Mm. So those are two good additions to their schedule.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm glad they are tackling these new places, but, you know, give these tracks a little bit more character, because, yeah, like, this felt very much like a baby Formula One race.
Because, honestly, my go-to sign in knowing whether a circuit was purpose-built for Formula E or not are, where are the road markings? You normally see crosswalks, yes, you see bus lanes, and you see things like that you normally see on a public road. The Jakarta racing surface, blank canvas.
Yeah, it's just, they built this sucker just for this. You could tell from the aerial shots that they built this sucker just for this. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, part of the fun of the series is the fact that it wasn't racing at places like this. And I think the series loses a little bit of its character when it does things like that. It's a shame because, like I said, like the layout of the track itself was great. Yeah. You know, the temperature and, you know, threw up some curveballs, which was fun. It had a direct impact on the win, which is good. You know, it should challenge the teams. And hey, if we got the monsoon conditions that were teased on Friday, then oh boy, that would have been interesting on those all weather tires. But it was okay. I just, you know, it just feels like Formula E strayed a little bit away from its roots, and I'm not the biggest fan of that. Like. Do things that will make your series stand out. And I don't mean really corny qualifying intros. Like, you know, take the series to places that you don't normally see. Like, when, as King said, places like Hyderabad is going to be really intriguing next year to see how that turns out. Because I know India has been dying for some more motorsport.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's going to be very intriguing.
It's a completely underserved market. I don't know. I don't think the Jakarta E-Prix is like the number one example of like Formula E selling out to try to appease a demographic that was never going to get on board with it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I did worry that like they're going to start selling themselves out to try and appease a demographic that was never going to get behind them and always thought they were going to be a joke regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah, it's like, hey guys, you wanted some proper tracks? Here's some proper tracks. And I'm like, no, this is not. And the people that have been watching from day one's like, no, we liked the fact you didn't go to these places. Apart from that time you raced in Battersea Park, we don't talk about that. That was messy. But yeah, I completely agree on that one. You know, just, like, dance with the one that brung you. Monaco's a fine Monaco's a fine exception because the cars are a better fit for the track than what Formula One is.
Yeah, but I mean, Formula One is a street track. I mean, Monaco is a street track.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it sometimes because we're just so used to going there. But, like, I mean, that was a bit of a brain fart on my part there. Play it down. But, I completely agree with those sentiments. Like I said, dance with the one that brung you, Formula E. It's way more fun that way. Trust me.
Also, you know, it would be nice if your journalist would get, if you could pay just like more than two journalists to go to your events. In terms of the championship, Nick DeVries, gentleman we talked about, he suffered a puncture when Andre Lotterer hit him from behind. Lotterer finished out of the points after a 5-second penalty, dropped into 11th, but Nick DeVries did not finish the race. He is now 56 points back of championship leader Stoffel Vandoorne with 7 races to go. There are still up to 175 points on the table, not including bonuses. Does he have enough time to get this back?
He's right on the brink, is what I would say. He'd have to probably win 5 out of the last 7 to read.
God.
And that just does not happen in this series. We've not seen that sort of dominance since Buemi in season 2, where he had blatantly the best car and he was really good at it.
God, remember when Adams had the best car?
Oh.
It's like, it feels like donkeys years ago. Like, it was that long ago, but I feel bad for Nick. He got lottered. I mean, has there ever been a puncher in a Formula E race?
It's been a long time.
A long time ago. Like, it was one of the, it happened frequently in the earlier seasons when it was easier to make wheel-to-wheel contact.
Yeah, and the wheels were a lot more exposed as well. Those were the days. Yeah, God, it felt like forever and a day ago when that was a thing. And we had two wheel errors because Oliver Rowland lost the tire.
I don't think I've ever seen a wheel fall off of a Formula E car like that.
Yeah, the whole damn wheel fell off with Oliver Rowland. And that, you know, we had a very, very quick, like a whole safety car that was in and out within two laps to fix that. And we had a whole 90 seconds of added time at the end of the race, which was quite funny. I was like, oh, we got a bit of extra time. Yeah. We can have one more lap. Just add that lap back on. It's fine. That'll do. But Merckx has got the car to do it because I think Merckx have the best, you know, have the best car in the field is what I would say on paper. But the problem is that they have Stoffel Vandoorne leading the charge. And he's in a very tight title race at the moment. As mentioned, there is 12 points covering the top four between him, Jev, Mortara, and Mitch Bruh. Is it gonna get to the point where Merckx tells Nick, do you mind stepping aside for Stoffel so he can win? We can try and win both titles here?
Are we at that point? Van Dorn almost has, double the points? Almost double?
Yeah, nearly double.
It's 65-121. It's almost double. It's not mathematically impossible that Nick DeVries can come back from this, but he is the best case scenario for Nick DeVries is that he's just going to have to pick up as many podiums as he can to help secure Mercedes the team's championship on the way out.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Gary. They spoke to Gary Paffett after the race, who's still the team manager in that Mercedes hub, and he pretty much said that, you know, he was asked, "Do you think the DeVries's title is over?" And he said, "Pretty much," was basically his response to that. He said, "Yeah, it's probably done for him." So if that's the logic that his own employers have got at the moment, it might be the beginning of the end for Nick's reign. And hey, it might be the beginning of the end of his time in FE if you still believe the Williams F1 rumors going around. So hey, it might not be all that bad for Nick in the end. It might fall up into something. Well, it depends if you describe losing your FE title and then going to F1 as moving up. I don't know. You could be the judge at home on that one. But I think the call is going to come from Mercedes pretty soon to say, look, you want to win both titles. You know, the drivers is looking a bit precarious. It's very, very close. The teams, they've got a 16-point lead in the team's title over Tichita. And Venturi are only a point behind them. So the top three are covered by 17 points and the constructors too. So it's close all around. So, you know, it might be, if they want to hedge their bets and play their cards a certain way, it might be time for them to sell Nick. Look at the scoreboard, mate. It might be time to just, you know, we're all in on Stoffel, even though, you know, he's leaving at the end of the season anyway, which I think is still quite funny. But hey, you got to win what's right in front of you, right? And I'm sure Merckx will want to defend their title, or titles, I should say. You know, but still, Mitch is in range. Mitch is only 12 points back. Let's go, Mitch Evans. I need one prediction to come through. I need one. Just give me one, okay? I need... Like, Mitch, I know if you're listening out here, like, I'm cheerleading for Jaguar. This is unthinkable, right? I need this, okay? I need this. So, Mitch, if you can, couple more of these wins, boss man, all right? Just throwing that out there.
We'll give you $100 million. How about $150?
Depends. Is he playing golf? No? Maybe? He's not getting out on the PGA Tour, is he?
He's playing golf amplified.
Mm, 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 mm. live on YouTube for the world to see.
Live on YouTube.
Hey, I see what you
God,
did there.
It's such a stupid. It's God. I can't believe they. That's so clever of them. I cannot believe it's going to be bad when the public investment fund starts funding F1 podcasts.
No, it's going to be terrible.
And it's already awkward enough when my podcasting heroes are being bankrolled by DraftKings to do their own F1 podcasts.
I know.
Yeah, come on, stay on your own turf.
Stay here. The reputation is here. We all want to win those podcast awards. The majors are all on this side of the line, okay? This is what we do here, okay? Also, Porsche tested their Gen 3 Formula E car, and it looks mean. I just thought I'd point that out, but I saw that with Wehrlein the other day, that Porsche already testing their car, and I was just like, it looks like a stealth bomber. This is cool and also terrifying.
It's interesting to see what these looks like outside of the context of official Formula E renders that were released a while ago.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. It is definitely fun to say that. Right. Formula E is back. We're taking a little break from the series. We'll be back in a month's time. And that'll be at Marrakesh on July 3rd. So
Marrakesh, yeah. The fever.
Yeah, the fever. One of our favorite rounds to go to. We do like Marrakesh. That should be a fun one. On that one, Marrakesh on July 3rd. So check that out if you haven't already. Right, let's get out of here, folks. We had a fun time on this one. Please, you can find us one more time. YouTube and Facebook.com/Motorsport101. Twitter @ Motorsport_101. Our handles @ Harrison101HD, @ Ryan Eric King, @ RJ O'Connell. And if you check out Cam and our other shows, he's at CBuckley917. We're on Instagram, Motorsport101Pod. Check us out on there for all the content, as well as our website, Motorsport101.com, for all of our details on there, including our Patreon page. Check us out on there. All the links you need are on that site. Enjoy Le Mans weekend and all that. Well, I hope you had a good time with that. We'll be back for Formula One at Baku. As I like to call it, the Shithousery Grand Prix, because shithousery always happens in Baku. Well done, then. Until next time, I've been Dre Harrison, David RJ O'Connell, and Ryan Eric King. And until next time, sayonara.
Later, y'all.
Bye.
So you're telling me Jack Nicklaus turned down 125 mil just to show up?
Yep.
I'm in a fucking fever dream.
Hey, at least the Indy Racing League was only spawned at the behest of good men like Bernie Ecclestone.